The date is Thursday, June 12, 2008. Hello, everyone. My name is Michelle, and I live in Central Florida. I wish all of you well. I'm coming out here doing a combination podcast slash Fillmore greeting on the subject of accessibility for the blind as it relates to TV broadcasting, as well as accessibility for the blind as it relates to online college education opportunities. To give you a little background on myself, I'm 38 years of age, single, totally blind. I'm not just coming out here with an axe to grind, although that may seem like that's what this is. Really, my approach here is basically to come out with, well, hopefully to not only educate people, but hopefully to, you know, drum up some action. To maybe see some positive things come out of some of these issues. Well, I said podcast slash Fillmore greeting. Well, for those that don't know what the Fillmore Productions voicemail system is, if you want to learn more about it, please feel free to dial the following number, 773-572-3000 or 3000. That will take you to Fillmore Productions customer service. You can listen to the outgoing greeting on that box, and that will tell you a bit about the system. You can leave a message for the person that owns that box, because that person is the same person that owns the system, and he can tell you more about it if you are interested in Fillmore Productions voicemail. This Fillmore Productions greeting will be placed on blindcooltech.com as a podcast. Now, on to the bulk of what I want to discuss here, and I'll try to be as brief as I can be without leaving out important details. I run a weather group, actually two weather groups, an email weather list as well as a Fillmore Productions voicemail weather list. And we have been discussing the issue of not being able to read weather warnings as they come up on the TV screen, or when you're listening to the weather forecast, how when the on-air weather person is not completely describing things in detail for the average viewer, assuming, of course, that the average viewer can see. Well, the unfortunate reality is that there are people in the listening audience that cannot see. And because of that, information is missed. And I'm coming out here today to address that issue. We as blind people need to rise up and state our opinions, although some of TV stations have not totally been receptive to this issue. I'll give you all an example. We have a local affiliate here in the Orlando area, which is where I live. WKMG is the TV station's call letters. Local 6 is its handle, if you will. Back during the 2004 hurricane season, during Hurricane Jean, when a lot of people didn't have power, they depended on, as we did, that particular TV station's radio simulcast channel, which is 87.7 on the far end of the FM dial. The problem was the on-air TV meteorologist, who is also the TV station's chief meteorologist, was not being descriptive. He was talking about how the squall lines were going, quote, that way and moving in this direction and going in that direction. Well, people had called the TV station, complaining, stating that they could not follow what he was talking about because they had no power. They were stuck listening to him on the radio. And they even came on the air and apologized, stating that they were sorry that they didn't describe things properly. But the on-air TV meteorologist, whose name is Tom Sorrells, did not change his method of operation after that apology. Even now, with the exception of when there's a tornado warning, even now, the on-air TV meteorologists are lousy at describing where things are, what direction something is moving in, and or they don't talk about all of the temperatures on the screen. You know, when they're showing the temperatures for specific cities, they only mention specific cities. They don't mention everybody. And that's very frustrating if you're not around someone that's sighted, you know, that can tell you what something says, then how are you going to know? The other issue is when warnings are issued and the TV channels will run these warning information statements across the bottom or top of your TV screen. You hear a goofy beep, 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 but you don't know what that beep, beep, beep is if you're blind because you can't see it. Very frustrating. Now, on the flip side of this, if you have a no-weather radio, and if you have access to the Internet, the National Weather Service is very accessible. Their website is extremely accessible. And if you've never been up there, for those of you that have access to the Internet, I would highly encourage you to go up there and check it out. Everything is alt tagged, the headings, you know, everything is great in terms of accessibility up on the weather.gov page. And I even wrote to them and told them, I said, you know what, I appreciate the fact that you do this. You know, for those folks that do, we should give them a good pat on the back and tell them, great job, you know, for those folks that do provide accessibility for you know, for everyone. And basically they wrote back to me and told me that, you know, well, you know, we try to provide something for everybody, you know. We try to make things, you know, on our website accessible for everyone, no matter what operating system a person is using. And that's the way it should be, folks. They're running a public domain website. So therefore, they've got to make it accessible for every aspect of the public, whether you're sighted or not. Now, why aren't the TV stations doing that? The TV stations just assume everybody that's watching their broadcast can see. I have a friend up in Evansville, Indiana, who called one of his TV channels about the fact that they wouldn't mention the temperature for Evansville, Indiana. Wouldn't mention it. So he calls the TV station and says, you know what? I said, you guys won't mention the temperature for Evansville. You just assume everybody can see. You put the temperature on the screen and assume everybody can see this. Now, how hard would it be, you know, to change your method of operation and acknowledge that, you know what, there are people out here that can't see what you're putting up there? How hard is that to do? You know? But the lady on the other end of the phone, when this fella called over there, you know, well, I'll have to talk to the people in the weather department and see what they say. Now, you know, that just, you know, and all she could say is, you know, when he told her that she could, that when he told her that he couldn't see, she's like, oh, you know, like she felt sorry for him. We don't need that, people. We don't need the world out here feeling sorry for us. We want to be heard, and we want people to understand that, hello, you know, you put stuff on the TV screen and you just assume people can see. That's total BS. And it's not just, you know, the average blind person. I mean, there's a lot of elderly folks that can't see, okay? You know, you have to, I mean, just like closed captioning for the deaf. You know, why can't we get some kind of closed captioning audio system or something, you know? Or why can't these folks on the TV channels just be a little bit more sensitive to the fact that they're dealing with a mixed audience? Do they assume that just because you're blind that you're not going to be listening to a TV set? I listen to TV. You know, I can hear. I'm capable of hearing what's on the TV. You know, there is descriptive video for movies. Why not descriptive video for, you know, when a weather bulletin is being issued? You know, why can't, like, something, you know, in terms of descriptive video pop up on the screen through the TV station, you know, to tell me and you what's on there? How hard is that? Except that people don't want to take the time to do it, and that's unfortunate. And when you call them on the carpet on it, all they can do is shake their head and go, "Oh, I'm so sorry, like we're, you know, like we've got some terrible, tragic thing that's happened to us because we're blind." You know, come on. You know, haven't you dealt with a blind person before? Haven't you associated with them? Haven't you, you know, heard about people who can't see? I mean, do you know who Stevie Wonder and Ronnie Millsap are? Come on. Give me a break. I'll tell you what I love about No Weather Radio. When there's a warning, for example, when there's a weather warning or a special weather statement, because they know they're dealing with, you know, the fact that they're a public broadcasting situation, because it's not only the government, and they know they're dealing with the public, but they're also dealing with an audio outlet. So they have to be descriptive. And so I'll tell you what, folks, if the TV stations won't do their job at providing things for the public in general, then, you know, let's buy the hell out of these No Weather radios and use them and say, "Screw you, TV channel. I will get my warning information from the National Weather Service." But there's got to be a solution to this problem. You know, I'm no techno geek, so I wouldn't know the first thing about how technical something like that would be. I don't even know what the technical aspects of putting closed captioning on the TV screen is for the deaf. But I know if there's a closed captioning option for people who can't hear, why can't there be some audio option for people who can't see? Give me a break. Like I said, if you can listen to descriptive video, why can't that same concept be applied to, you know, weather warnings and other information? You know, what if I'm sitting there, you know, in a weather warning, and I'll tell you, it's not just our local TV stations, you know. The Weather Channel is really bad about this, too, you know. You're watching your local forecast or, you know, or watching the Weather Channel, and a warning comes across the bottom of the screen, and it has that goofy beep, beep, beep signal, but you don't know what it is because you can't read it. And if you don't have someone around you that's sighted, or if they put these special weather statement things up there, but it's not, it's some information that's, you know, important, but because it's not being read to you, well, it's, it's basically, you know, non-accessible to the blind. What good is that? It's good for people who are able to see it, but what good is it for a person who can't? Jeez. You know, you're a public domain, and yet you people can't come up with a way to make your information accessible to people who cannot see. That's disgraceful. That's disgusting. And something needs to change, and I hope that as a result of this podcast/film work reading, that in fact will change. Now, the other issue I wanted to bring up has to do with the online college experience. Now, of course, the online college experience is a relatively new situation. It's only been within the last couple of years, I do believe. Now, I was considering, you know, an online college deal. until I started checking into what would be required to participate in class activities and that sort of thing. Well, they have this thing called the virtual chalkboard and the virtual classroom. And I can understand that. You know, you got to have interaction with the students as well as the professor. Okay, that's understandable. However, it does not currently work with any screen reader technology. And I'm sorry, but, you know, I realize it's a new concept, but that violates the Americans for Disabilities Act. You have to be able to offer people an education, no matter what their color, race, gender, or disability. I mean, if we were to go to these particular universities and pay extra for room and board, you know, they would have a disabled student services program that you can be a part of. So why not, can I not contact the Disabled Student Services Department and say, I have this problem. I cannot take your classes and I can't participate in your course material because I cannot be a part of the virtual classroom, nor can I read the virtual chalkboard thing that you guys have going on there. I propose an alternative for those of us that use Skype, and Skype is a pretty good program now. Why can't we have a conference hookup and a computer in the classroom where the instructor or professor is talking to those of us sight impaired folks through Skype via the conferencing feature? I think you can have up to at least 15 people on that. I can't remember how many people you can have on there, but you know, there's got to be a way that that can work. There's not going to be tons and tons and tons of blind people, you know, in one classroom at a time. And if there are, then, you know, there's got to be a way that we can expand that feature so that, you know, those of us out here can be a part of an online conference via Skype on, you know, that system and be a part of the classroom experience. But someone, too, would have to describe what's being placed on the chalkboard if the instructor is writing something on the chalkboard and it's being, you know, implemented through the virtual chalkboard. Then it would have to be described to us, and, you know, that would be the responsibility of the professor to be sensitive to that aspect of things. But there's got to be a way, and if you can't do it through Skype, why not a message board system? There has to be a way. If you can't get the screen readers to read the virtual chalkboard, you know, and if there's not a way to get around the virtual classroom issue, then how are people, especially if online college education is the wave of the future, how is a blind person going to participate in that experience? There are a lot of highly intelligent blind folks out here that are college educated, and have college educations, you know, that are able to, you know, participate in college activities. And I think it would be awesome if we could, in fact, you know, participate in college online studies. You know, it would save, you know, the state a lot of money. They wouldn't have to pay for room and board. They could just pay for the tuition, you know, for anyone that wishes to take classes online. You just have to pay for the tuition. You wouldn't even have to pay for room and board and food and all this other stuff. I think that would save the states a lot of money. But we'd have to get around the inaccessibility issue again. So I hope that I've come out here and not only shared my heart and soul regarding this, but I also hope that I've offered up some solutions and, you know, comments either through the Somore Productions voicemail system and or through blindcooltech.com. You know, your comments are welcome, and I hope that if you guys have any suggestions, you know, please share them with me, and, you know, we can talk about this even further on future podcasts / Fillmore Greetings, because I would really like to see these issues addressed by, you know, our government, our community, and I'd like to see changes made. You know, I don't want to just come out and talk just to talk. If I want to talk just to hear myself speak, I could do that any old time on any old subject. But I'm not coming out here just to talk. I'm coming out here to hopefully make an impact. On that note, again, comments are welcome. Please feel free to leave your messages or your emails, however you are listening to this, and please take care of yourselves, and until we meet again, may God richly bless you all. Take care.